The end of the 30-day cybersecurity sprint, as directed by Tony Scott, the federal chief information officer, is coming up. Every agency, though, cannot afford to maintain its own critical infrastructure. Dave McClure is chief strategist at the Verisk Group. John Marshall's founder and CEO of the Shared Services Leadership Coalition, and writing about shared services for federalnewsradio.com. Gentlemen, thanks for writing this piece, and thank you for joining me this afternoon. I want to start with you, Dave, because a lot of what we've talked about shared services, not just you and I, but a lot of what we've talked about more broadly in the space, has to do with the kinds of concepts that you worked on at FedRAMP. What is the first part of the problem that you and John see as the big deal with situations not exclusively like the OPM breach, but like that over across government? Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. And in reference to the shared services piece, is that what you're referring to, Francis?
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, the business case and the real idea of shared services, I think, is finally rooting a little bit, and it's really the right thing to focus on. It's focused on reducing transaction costs and improving performance by simplifying our approach to IT solutions across single topical areas, finance, HR, whatever. And I think that's the right way to drive forward. There's a lot of capabilities that have to be addressed by any entity that's going to go into that space. And I think, as we have found out, security is one of them.
John, you write in this piece that you agree with some of the ideas that Tony Scott's advanced about the cybersecurity sprint and how to make it happen, and you offer a friendly amendment to his strategy. You and Dave write, you should accelerate shared services implementation so the government's limited cyber expertise and investment funds can be concentrated on a smaller number of fully modernized, cyber secure, shared transactional platforms. What would those platforms look like, and how customizable or customized do you think they'd have to be?
I like what Tony Scott has laid out, and he talked about a rational way forward, setting smarter priorities for cyber investments according to levels of risk, and accelerating migration to scalable cloud enterprise platforms. So the government is rife with antiquated redundant work processes, and what shared services would allow the government to do, consistent with Tony's strategy, is to focus investments and limited expertise on platforms on a smaller number of centralized, higher performing, higher standard platforms. And we can't possibly invest the resources to modernize and smart up all of the platforms that are scattered throughout the whole federal environment. We can focus on a smaller number and make them more cost effective and cyber secure for much larger volumes of government transactions.
Dave, the reason that I appreciated what you and John wrote so much is because you get at the core of where the dialogue has been for the past like 25 years on information technology and government. And you by touching on the fact that the government has limited cyber expertise and some of the problems that we've seen that have come out because of the OPM breach, it sounds to me like you're trying to get at what the right balance is between saying, all right, the government doesn't have the expertise to be able to handle this, and so we should just give up and we should farm everything out, or taking it to the other extreme, which is to say the government doesn't have the expertise it needs and we need to go out and hire 50,000 million people to be able to bring that expertise into government.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think, you know, the beauty of shared services, and it's very simple, and that's what we tried to write in the article. This is not heavy-duty brain science here. You're reducing variation in security controls, and you're eliminating duplication of security work and reporting. Those are great. That's what shared services allows you to do, is to put that security expertise and capability, which is in such high demand, and one in which you're competing for, top-notch skill sets. You're narrowing the footprint where you have to populate those skills. That's got to be a positive step forward. And I think that's one of the big selling points in shared services has been the simplification of the technology platform, as John alluded to, and the simplification of the controls and the processes and the management of people that are not spread across 15, 16 different geographical locations, all with different technology platforms, all with very diverse security backgrounds. So to me, it's just common sense that this approach really helps attack that problem.
Dave McClure of the Verisk Group and John Marshall, the Shared Services Leadership Coalition, writing on federalnewsradio.com under the title Shared Services, a Key Part of the 21st Century Federal Cyber Strategy. John, the part of the problem that shared services has run into so far in government, especially when it comes to the modernization part, is that in addition to the modernization effort, whatever service it is that is being modernized has to continue to be provided on a daily basis. And it sounds like part of what you might be suggesting as you talk about President Obama's observation, part of the problem is we've got very old systems, is that new systems to replace them that are then shared across government agencies is going to be a big element of the solution. What happens in that time between today when we decide that that's the right course and whatever day it is that everything, that all the new systems are turned on and people are sharing them in the way that you envision?
Well, there's a big transition, obviously, that has to take place, and agency by agency migration from old to new platforms is a very important part, and it's a high risk part of the proposition. But the end game is where we're aiming. This is where everyone agrees we need to go. We need to go more to the cloud. We need to go more to shared platforms and shared business models. And we need to consolidate, and this is the way you do it. Now, as Dave said, it's not rocket science. This has been done all over the world in leading commercial and government organizations, and we just happen to be the laggard in this area. But we also have some of the biggest challenges, where we have scale that's unlike anything in the world. And so it's going to have to be very, very deliberate and carefully done. But it can be done, and we can put a man to the moon and bring him back in a decade. There's no reason why we can't tackle something like this, you know, within a good decade or 15 years or so.
Dave, you and I have talked about culture a lot, and I want to ask you about something specifically to do with culture that you and John write in this piece. But as John makes that observation that other governments have done this, I wonder what it is that's embedded in our culture. Is it something in the government, or is it because we're Americans or whatever, that we're so apprehensive about adopting best practices from other governments around the world? Because it's not just in cyber that we've seen that be the case.
No, it's a cultural resistance, which sort of can be called not invented here syndrome. So, and it's not necessarily just in this country. I think there are other countries that have advanced best practices and common solutions. But again, if you look at the scale of those governments, they usually are much smaller than what you would see in the United States. So getting consensus and getting political movement is, while still difficult, is not insurmountable like you might find in the culture here, which is I'm special, my data is special, my IT is special, my approach is special, and you don't understand it, so don't force a solution on me that I did not invent. And it's just, you know, one of those things, as John mentioned, you know, we have a triple threat that we outline here: tight budgets, limited expertise, and cultural blind spots. And I think those are really, you know, paramount to keeping on knocking down these innovations in technology.
John, I wonder if part of this isn't a selling job, because I think if you went to, not just you, but if someone went to agency leadership and said, listen, there is a mechanism that's available to get you out of the business of things that are not direct to in direct support of the mission and get you into the business of things that are directly in support of the mission, I would think that would be a winner all the way around. And we haven't seen it turn out that way, it doesn't look like.
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you, Francis? But that option has been put on the table. There have been proposals in the past to move a large shared service entity out of a cabinet department, and the bureaucracy has rallied around protecting its asset and not allowing that to happen. We've also seen at the Department of one major cabinet agency, they changed the name of its shared service center to focus on internal activities rather than cross-government activities. So the departments and agencies tend to be a little schizophrenic, but you would think it would be in their interests, and this is part of the value proposition that's the most compelling, around the country and around the world in leading organizations who've done it. But it is a hard sell because the bureaucracy here seems to be more resistant than most, and they do rally against change.
All right. We're at the culture question again, and we seem to get stuck on that with issues like this. So that's where I want to continue when we come back. That's John Marshall, founder and CEO of the Shared Services Leadership Coalition. You're also hearing Dave McClure of the Verus Group, and they are writing on federalnewsradio.com under the title Shared Services, a Key Part of a 21st Century Federal Cyber Strategy. The conversation continues in a moment on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Continuing with Dave McClure of the Verus Group, John Marshall of the Shared Services Leadership Coalition, their piece, Shared Services, a Key Part of a 21st Century Federal Cyber Strategy, is right on the homepage now at federalnewsradio.com. I mentioned as we went to break that culture is where we seem to get stuck in this conversation all the time, Dave. And you write in this piece, most agencies are not conducive environments for security-driven decision-making. Agencies exist to serve constituencies. What else contributes to the culture problem across agencies? It's not just OPM. We shouldn't pick on them. This is all across agencies. And you saw this at GSA, and you saw this at the Government Accountability Office.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, first of all, I want to be real clear. You can fail at shared services implementation. I think John and I both know, while it has a great track record of delivering good results, you can actually attempt to put it in place and it can fall apart. And that's the reason. I think these cultural barriers have to do a lot with governance not being properly put in place. Who's deciding? Who's the customer? Who's the provider? It's sometimes very difficult to get the governance process worked out because, again, you're giving up control of data and processing to another entity, which a lot of CIOs and IT professionals are uncomfortable with. There's a general customer readiness stage to shared services where the customer has to be clear in terms of what their expectations are, service delivery needs, performance types of things have to be put in place. So, you know, I think what it boils down to is that you and people have asked me this, hey, you're a big supporter of shared services. Does OPM, OPM was hacked. The IBC was a data center, a shared service data center for Interior and other agencies. How can you be endorsing it? The problem, as usual in the government, is with implementation. You can have a great business case for standing up a shared service center, you can implement it very poorly. And certainly one of the things that happened with the OPM data breach is basic standard punt, pass, and kick security stuff just simply was not being taken care of. And as a result, you're creating vulnerabilities and service problems for your customers.
John, you mentioned in the last segment some of the issues with where this stuff has been housed and what it's been called and all of that. I wonder if that's part of the culture problem, is where the shared service is, whatever it is, where it lives, whether it's a cybersecurity service or financial management or whatever it is, if that's part of the problem, is deciding who should be the shared service provider.
Yeah, well, we think that's part of the problem, Francis, that it doesn't make sense anymore to have shared services that serve the entire government housed in a mission-oriented department that has nothing to do with administrative services or payroll or whatever to the rest of the government. And we've heard in the past that some agencies, as we were talking a few moments ago, some departments would like to get rid of them, and others rally around to protect the status quo and don't like to get rid of them. So, it just seems a lot of these were started as best practices that were shared from one agency to another, and they just kind of evolved to the point where you have the National Finance Center that's housed in agriculture, and they serve lots of customers outside of agriculture. In the National Business Center, now it's the Interior Business Center in the Interior Department that does the same. But they were kind of grown through the years in kind of an ad hoc by starts and stops. And if you were redesigning shared services today from scratch, you wouldn't necessarily house them where they are today. You'd think about a more centralized, consolidated structure where they would have their own mission of performing these back office or mission related services, and they'd be unencumbered by other higher priority missions that suck up resources and suck up talent, and where the administrative entities frankly get stepchild status in service within their department, within the mission oriented host agencies.
And John, to that point, which I think is a great one, if we were recreating these from scratch today, doesn't mean they wouldn't perform the same functions, and it doesn't mean we couldn't have the same people who are performing those functions performing them today. That's kind of to my point. They wouldn't necessarily live where they live today, and they wouldn't necessarily be under the governance structure, as Dave talked about earlier, that they're under today. We could create a governance structure that's better than we've got now.
And that's an area, exactly, and that's an area where our group is paying a lot of attention, and we salute the work that OMB is doing. Beth Cobert and Dave Mader. Dave is a zealot for shared services from way back, and he's bringing a lot of attention to the gaps in governance that exist. And our coalition is looking at legislation to plug some of those gaps as well. But that's a very key point. That's probably the most important linchpin to the success of the whole project.
Dave, how much of this is going to have to be stick as opposed to carrot, which is mostly what we've had so far?
I think some of it has to be stick. I think, and if we're going to stand up shared service centers in the government, we always have a discussion around their capability, their readiness to perform the service. So that's part of the stick, if you will. It's not like you hand out free passes and ask anyone that is interested to become a shared service center. And as John said, it may not even need to be based within a single department or agency because of the competing priorities and mission funding. So I think some of it has to be, at least some of the requirements that we expect to be in place have to be there. That's regulatory compliance and oversight that's just essential. But I think part of it is also incentivizing the creation of these kinds of centers. One of the biggest challenges in the history of shared services is the investment that is needed to stand them up, and then the investment that's needed to continually modernize these centers. So while that can be baked into a fee structure, it often requires capital infusion at strategic points in the life cycle of a shared service center, and we've got to make sure that we address that issue in the government.
Dave McClure and John Marshall writing about shared services on federalnewsradio.com. And Dave, you hit right on the two points that I wanted to finish up on, and that's the funding and the incentives. I'm recalling a conversation that I had with a senior government official back in October of last year about shared services. And I said to this person, when are you going to start telling agencies if you can do whatever you want, you can ask for whatever you want, but if you're not doing it in a shared environment, we're just not going to give you the money? And this person's response was, well, that's something that we're looking at as we're moving forward. So it could come to that. Should it come to that, that OMB just says, nope, we're not going to do it that way, bring us back something, at least in certain subject matter expertise areas, that has to be done in a shared environment?
Yeah, I think it's certainly something that deserves merit, and it has been something that was contemplated in prior shared service attempts in the federal government under Quicksilver and some other initiatives. So if an agency has a shared solution available to it itself, or most likely through another entity, and it chooses not to do that, instead it wants to run its own finance, its own payroll, I think the response back is, could be fine, you do that. You get no budget specifically for that. You must take it out of whatever is allotted to you in the mission area. Then you start having some real incentive discussions about whether to retain or to peel off the shared service functions that can be done more economically and more efficiently in a enterprise way.
And John, I think the motivator there is not only do you have those discussions in the executive branch, but inevitably you'd have those discussions with the legislative branch for sure.
Yeah, they're skin in the game on both ends of Pennsylvania Avenue, and we think one of the keys to getting things moving forward is getting both players involved, and Congress has been absent for most of the last several decades. I keep harking back, Francis, to when payroll started as the first shared service in the modern day in the mid-1980s. Fast forward to 2009, and OPM declares victory. Payroll is consolidated down to four government-wide providers. It took 26 years to get that done, and the biggest biggest missing factor was we had really no leadership from Capitol Hill in wanting to get it done. And we had five presidential administrations, all of whom supported shared services in one way or another over that 26-year time span. But they were all defining it in different ways and changing it from administration to administration. And what we need is a roadmap and someone on the other end of town who cares to see that it's done and can provide oversight through the years and make sure it's on a continuous and sustainable path.